How would you like to overcome invisible disabilities? Danielle Bruszek will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Danielle is she's a powerful voice in the conversation around invisible disabilities, limiting beliefs, and what it truly means to thrive. With over 15 years experience in the legal field as a speaker and author, Danielle blends professional insight with her own lived experience navigating invisible disabilities. And she's been featured on Rebirth TV, Invisible Disability TV, Action Talks with Authors, Women's Association, and many more places as well. So, Danielle, tell us about what invisible disabilities are and how can someone overcome them?
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
So invisible disabilities basically are disabilities that you physically cannot see. So a physical disability, if you break your wrist, you can see that they have a brace. An invisible disability is actually something that you physically cannot see. So for example, I have an auditory processing disorder. And with that, it's like a monitor and a computer that are not hooked up. So examples of invisible disability would be ADHD, ADD, post-traumatic stress disorder, even as far as cancer. And those are some examples, but they're things that you physically cannot see. So we're walking amongst you like everyday people.
Thank you. Let's say someone who has depression, is that considered an invisible disability? And
yes.
How can someone overcome a depression?
Great question. So depression is an invisible disability. And so there's like tools that you can have for yourself. For example, maybe sometimes there's medication that people need because sometimes their body is missing a specific component that is needed. Like for example, maybe with depression, serotonin. And then secondly, putting new tools in the toolbox of what I mean by that is maybe working out. And if you can't physically work out, maybe walking, taking 10 minutes a day, leaving the area that maybe you're stressed about and walking and kind of having a new outlook. Also, maybe changing a couple of the thought processes. So those are some tools that people can use.
Thank you. Tell us more about your story of how you discovered that you have an invisible disability and how are you coping with it?
So I was very fortunate that I was diagnosed in second grade. I was delayed with reading and speech. And so my parents went ahead and got me tested. It did not show up in my schoolwork until probably sixth grade. Sixth grade, seventh grade started to become very, very difficult for me. And the reason being that back when I went to school, they would go ahead and do multiple choice tests. And the way that my brain processes information, I just have a difficult time processing and giving the information in a multiple choice test. So early on, I had a tutor come 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, just to get me through school. Fast forward, my sophomore year in high school, I was struggling. I was getting C's, D's, and F's. And even with my tutor, I would know the information inside and out. I asked teachers to give me alternative testing. For example, you know, reading it out loud to me. Or another example would have been essay tests. And back then, there wasn't any rules and regulations that said that they had to accommodate. So I had to fight for myself. The turning point for me was sophomore year in high school. My principal called me in the office and told my mom and I would be lucky if I graduated high school. So I have built tools over the years. After that, I went to a specific boarding school called Landmark School in Boston, Massachusetts. For me, that was my turning point because my goal was to go to college. So when I left that principal's office, I was so defeated and so crushed that I just searched for any alternative to help me to get to where I wanted to go. And this school specialized in providing tools in your toolbox to become more successful. So you knew what accommodations you needed as you, you know, continued through school and into your career.
Thank you. What should people who perhaps don't have a disability, what should they be aware of when it comes to becoming aware of invisible disabilities?
Fantastic question. I think it kind of depends on the actual disability. For myself, it was my parents, you know, recognizing it early that I was delayed in speech, and that I wasn't reading. For people as they get into their adulthood, if they didn't have the opportunity like I did, definitely kind of see. I mean, if you start seeing that you're switching letters, or numbers, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have dyslexia, but it may mean that your brain's not, you know, functioning at the, you know, the right pace. If you are seeing that when you're having conversations with people, maybe you're missing some of the facts or the information, you know, maybe there's an auditory issue, you know, may not be the actual disability, but maybe your hearing is off because hearing could be a disability, an invisible one. And definitely kind of just keep track and see. You know, the biggest thing is kind of just do a self-assessment and identify challenges that you may have. You know, if contracts or writing is difficult for you, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you have a disability, but maybe keep an eye on it and go get tested. Talk to your practitioner.
Thank you. Now, let's imagine that I don't have a disability. How can I become more acceptant and more aware of people that have an invisible disability? What should I be doing? What kind of questions should I be asking? Or what should I do in terms of my behavior so I can become more acceptant and more aware of people that may have an invisible disability?
Mm-hmm. Definitely number one would be empathy. That's definitely number one. You know, some disabilities can intermittently show up. For me, sometimes when I'm in a meeting and it's like way over my head, I have this glazed look over my eyes. And so, you know, maybe checking in with the person, you know, if somebody in a meeting with me sees that I have this glazed look, maybe the person after the meeting could come back and just say, was everything okay? You know, I kind of noticed you had a glazed look. Do you need me to review anything or go through anything? And so I think that's the biggest thing is just having the empathy and trying to have those open communication in such a way that they feel comfortable enough to maybe talk to you further and disclose anything that may be their challenges.
Thank you. For people that have, let's say, ADHD, what can they do to deal with this invisible disability?
Yeah, that's a good one. That one can be a little difficult. I do know that sometimes the connection between wheat and the hyper part of ADHD sometimes has some correlation. I think the biggest thing is find tools that will help you regulate. For example, maybe meditation, even if it's 5 minutes a day. The other thing is be mindful of your brain when it's getting tired. I do need to take frequent breaks during my workday because my brain gets really tired. And when it gets tired, I can't think correctly. A lot of people I have heard, some of the tools that they use for ADHD is like a heavy blanket at night. That heavy blanket kind of calms the nervous system and kind of regulates it. So those are some of the things that I've come across through people that I have known that have had those.
Thank you. What can people who are, let's say, have children with ADHD or colleagues that have ADHD, what kind of things can they put in place so they can put the people that have ADHD at ease and so they can perhaps be the most productive at work?
Mm-hmm. I would say that one of the things is if you're starting to see the person kind of get a little anxious or antsy because they've been focusing for so long, maybe as a coworker, just say, you know, hey, Sam, do you want to go for a quick walk? And, you know, kind of walk with them and kind of help them kind of, you know, you don't even have to talk about work or anything. Just talk about life and go for a quick walk. Or do you want to go grab coffee? So a lot of times people won't really notice that there's anything going on. But if you just ask them, you know, if you notice that there's, you know, some anxiety or that they're starting to kind of get overwhelmed, you know, asking them just to kind of take a break without saying, do you want a break?
Thank you. Are there any other invisible disabilities that you mentioned earlier or that you didn't mention that you can tell us more about in terms of like what people can do to overcome those kind of invisible disabilities?
So I think the biggest thing for any invisible disability is just to really hone in and identify what the challenge is. You know, for my auditory processing disorder, I really had to figure out that writing and test taking was just not my forte. But you would never know me talking today that I have an invisible disability. So I started to really focus on what I excel at rather than focusing on what I was not really good at. And so I excelled in sports. I was an excellent goalkeeper and tennis player. So I started to apply that mindset into my everyday. And I think the biggest also thing is just be aware. And as you're walking around, you know, if someone looks really sad, you don't know if they're challenged with an actual depression. If someone seems like when you're having a conversation with them and they go 0 to 100, you're not sure what's actually happening behind the scenes. And maybe there is something that's causing their nervous system to irregulate and to be patient. And for disabilities, I think having more tools in your toolbox, talking to people, talking to people that have gone through it. I had to do a lot of experimental stuff for myself. Nobody was there to guide me and help me figure out what tools to put in my toolbox until I went to the boarding school. And then even after that, I had to continue to advocate and find tools that worked. And so I just surrounded myself with people that would help me brainstorm.
Thank you. How can someone turn an invisible disability into a recognized and appreciated gift? And what I mean is, like, for example, someone may struggle with a certain task, but they can be like absolutely amazing at something mm-hmm. else. How can they discover this?
Through trial and error, definitely. But also just through, you know, discovering. I mean, like, for example, I was beyond excelling at sports. Every single sport, I was like the top. Not everybody is fortunate for that. But when I came into the classroom, I had to read things and I had to have things on tape while I read and wrote things in order for my brain to comprehend it. So it took me triple as long to study for tests and get that information in my brain. I would say the biggest thing is find out what you excel in. Are you an incredible painter? You know, some of these people, they are brilliant at writing, but then when it comes to speaking, they have a little bit more, they're a little bit more shy. So I encourage both sides. I encourage to really hone in on what you excel in, and then try to find something that the challenge for you that you can try to uplift that challenge. For example, I found tools like being put books on tape along with me writing it. Those were two extra steps that I took to comprehend it, even though I didn't excel in it.
Thank you. What are some tools, perhaps AI tools or some other routines or apps that you leveraged in order to leverage the gifts that you have and to counteract the perhaps invisible disability that most people don't know about that you have?
Yeah. Well, the exciting part is I did write a chapter in a book, and that was a huge task for me because I'm not a very good writer because of my disability. So I started utilizing Grammarly. I also tapped into my parents' friend network, and one of our friends actually is a publisher, and so she offered to help me. And so what I did is I would verbally tell her, and we would meet, I'd verbally tell her the story, then I would try to write it down, and then her and I would work together to make sure that that was a clear, concise, and within the so many words that I could have for the chapter. So I utilized many different aspects. I even went as far as recording myself, and this is how I used to write my papers in college, is I would record myself on a recording device. So then when I heard myself, I would write exactly how I spoke because my speaking is more concise than my writing.
Thank you. Tell us some of the most extraordinary things that you've managed to do as a gift that this invisible disability gave you. For example, like you speaking on a podcast is such an amazing thing, right? You speaking around the world in, you know, on TV and on different stages perhaps as well, right? Are there any other things that you're really proud of that you've done as a gift that this invisible disability allowed you to do?
Yeah, so when I was younger, when I was 11 years old, I was the top goalkeeper all the way up to 18. And what that looked like is that I was the person that let the least amount of balls, soccer balls, go past me and get scored on. So that was my gift. I just would focus so much on that ball, and I was like, it's not getting behind me and in this net. So I was really fortunate. I was an extremely good skier. I did play on college tennis. So I was extremely good at tennis. So those were things that I excelled in. Along with that, I've been utilizing my personal story and going out and educating people that invisible disability doesn't define you. I had a limiting belief that your sophomore year in high school, I could have gone two directions. One, I could have really gone into a depressive state and really believed that teacher or that principal that I would never graduate. Or I could have used it as fuel and just continued proving her wrong and just searching for whatever I could to get support to move towards my direction. And so I have been fortunate to go ahead and have opportunities like this one to talk about my story and to get it out there and let people know that your invisible disability does not define you.
Thank you. What's your message for people with invisible disabilities? Is there any other last word you would like to share?
I think the biggest thing is yes, you will have your ups and downs. Through my years, I did have my ups and downs. I had a lot of setbacks. However, I didn't let the setbacks keep me from moving forward and going to my dreams. So whatever your dream is, do not feel that your invisible disability keeps you from getting to that dream. Find resources. Talk to people. Reach out to me. I'll be more than glad to have a conversation and dive deeper of what resources that there are. Just keep going forward and do not allow your invisible disability to define who you are.
Thank you. Are there any other resources that you would like to share for people with invisible disabilities?
They can go on my website, DanielleDoesHelp.com, and there is a checklist. And the checklist kind of goes through about maybe a self-assessment, identifying specific challenges and, you know, kind of honing in on that. Communication is another good part on the checklist that talks about, do you want to disclose it to your employer? What kinds of things do you need in place at work to help you become successful? That's one definitely good resource. Some of the other resources are, if you have a younger child, look up the Landmark School in Boston, Massachusetts. They were my turning point for me. And on their website, they have incredible resources.
Thank you. How can entrepreneurs worldwide connect with you?
They can connect with me through my website, www.DanielleDoesHelp.com. That is one area. I'm on LinkedIn under Danielle Brusek, which is B-R-Z-U-S-E-K. I'm also on Instagram and I'm on Facebook.
Thank you. Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.